Hi everyone, this is Benjamin from Sports Tech X. Today I have the pleasure to talk to Rebecca from the Sports Technology Awards. The Sports Technology Awards group runs a range of initiatives that celebrate technology-led innovation in sports. And I'm super curious about what she has to say today. But first of all, I want to welcome her in the show. So hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
Hi, good to have you here today. And we always start with a little intro about the person who I'm interviewing. So it would be great to hear from you, who you are, what you've done in the past, and actually who I'm talking to today.
Okay, certainly. Well, I'm the CEO of the Sports Technology Awards Group. We have got several brands that sit under our group. We've got ENS, which is where it all started 16 years ago. That's an award-winning sports PR boutique. It's probably the UK's longest-standing independent sports boutique agency now. We've got the Yahoo Sports Technology Awards. We are now in the sixth cycle of those. Those are the first initiatives within sport tech that we launched. We've also got our startup awards. They focus on really early stage businesses within the sports tech space. We've got our sports technology talks. They're part of our insight series. And through those, they facilitate privileged access to the minds of visionaries across all forms of technology, but they're essentially people who disrupt what they're doing, regardless of the sector. Come and speak at our technology talks. And then we also publish a series of white papers. So for a very small team that's based out of the UK and under license in China, because we've also got the Sports Technology Award Asia Pacific, we seem to be very, very busy, particularly in the sports tech space.
Yeah, sounds like, and wow, that's a lot of initiatives you have there. And yeah, due to the nature of my podcast, I'm especially interested in the ones regarding the startups, so the startup awards. But before that, before we come to that, I would like to know, who is your main target group? So who do you do all those events for? Who do you invite? So is it basically everyone who's interested in sports, or do you have specific target groups you're targeting?
I think probably it's several layers. It's obviously anybody who's in the business of sport is essentially our target market, because if you like, the world of sport is divided up into suits and tracksuits. We're very much a B2B proposition, and whilst we look at things like equipment and apparel, which have a consumer element to them, the part of the market we inform are the business decision makers in sport, whether that's people's coaches or people who run in clubs or overseeing sponsorship brands or who manufacture in the sports tech space. And so really the sweet spot for us is our C-suite and senior managers within the B2B world of sport.
Okay, understand. And one of the main things that is produced by you is the event, the annual event. Let's speak a bit about that. So what can we expect in detail? What exactly is going to happen at this event?
Well, the Yahoo Sports Technology Awards is probably our flagship event at the moment, but everything else we're doing is catching it up. The group has the mission to inform, inspire, and celebrate, and everything we do needs to conform with at least one of those missions. So with the Yahoo Sports Technology Awards, we probably, hopefully, managed to do all three, in that essentially it's a celebration of absolutely the most excellent innovations in sport that have been led through technology. But also as part of the experience of coming to the awards ceremony, we inform and hopefully we inspire the sector as well. We have parts of the show where we highlight technology. We also have technology as an innate part of the experience. So for example, we've always been a paperless awards. We've always done everything using technology. rather than printing up a ton of menus and those sorts of things. And over the years, we've showcased a variety of technology through the awards. So, for example, we've had robots give people seats, people their table numbers. We've delivered the script to the MC by drone. One of the most popular things we've used is augmented reality digital signage to reveal the shortlistees. So 24 hours before the official shortlist is revealed, if you download an app, our partner in this in the past has been Skynes, and scan the area of your office, we can geo-sign notification that you've been shortlisted. So there'll be a digital sign in the sky that tells you that your company or your brand has been shortlisted for the awards. And then we also use augmented reality at the awards as well. So that's really interesting because a lot of people haven't really seen AR used in anything other than a showcase environment. We're able to show people precisely what the practical application is of augmented reality for business purposes.
Yeah, I like this one very much because you very often have events who are about technology and innovation. And when you get there, you already realize that the event itself is not very modern or uses a lot of old and sometimes outdated technologies and processes. So I like that you're trying to embed that into your conference. And yeah, what you said is totally right. A, it's important to have this ceremony to like actually meet the people who are inside, but also meet the technology to see and feel and experience what you're talking about all the time and making it available for people. So that I like very, very much about your approach.
Oh, good. Thank you. Well, we house the Yahoo Sports Technology Awards. We have those at the Roundhouse in London, which is where the Apple iTunes Festival takes place. Mm-hmm. And the reason for holding it there, and we will always be there, the capacity for the ceremony is 850 people, so we're never going to make the ceremony bigger than that. And that means that we know that we've got great quality people in the room as well. But the reason for choosing the Roundhouse was it was such a tech-forward venue, and the capacity they've got for doing other innovations with tech from an event production point of view is huge. So each year we challenge ourselves to be even more tech forward than the last. So we're just working through some really cool ideas for our next event in May.
Very cool. Looking forward to that one. Hope I can make it there.
Oh, well, hopefully I'll see you there.
Very good. Let's talk a bit about the startup-related event that you're running, or the startup award. I'm always wondering what kind of startups you're looking for and how exactly you select the winners. So maybe you can share a few insights on that process.
Absolutely. Well, the whole startup concept came around because it was a category in the Yahoo Sports Technology Awards. And it was always hugely subscribed. We had a lot of massively interesting companies go into that category, but also there were a lot of startups competing with the different specific categories. And we were delighted and surprised at how often startup or relatively young businesses would take on established household names of brands and actually beat them. So we had, about a year ago, we had a really good look at the startup space and thought, well, you know, we love the work that we're doing with the Yahoo Sports Technology Awards, but as far as young businesses are concerned, we can't possibly be serving them well enough. Just throwing them into the mix of the Yahoo Sports Technology Awards, they need their own dedicated awards program. So I thought, well, let's do the startups. And in year one, because it was the inaugural year this year, and we run them as a virtual awards, so we don't have a ceremony. We stream the reveal of the winners because, you know, if you're a startup, the last thing you want to do is feel that you've got to spend money attending an awards event. And we're very fortunate in that we've got our partner Sport Radar who help us present the awards. They're really supportive of the work, both of ours and the startup community that they serve. But In year one, we did startup by discipline, so best app by a startup, best startup for participation, and we did it by discipline. This year, and sorry, in year one as well, we actually stopped at Series A funding, so it was very much seed funding through to Series A. Having consulted with the wider startup ecosphere, if you like, some more with investors, with accelerators, as well as startup owners themselves, the feedback that we got was, you know, we're less interested in startup by discipline, and what we want to see more of is the marriage of a great concept coupled with a strong business, or the potential for a strong business to emerge. So we've done things slightly differently this year, and we've stringed people by the type of startup they are, that the point of funding they've reached. So, for example, whether they're seed funded, crowd funded, Series A, B, or C, and then we've also added a couple of other categories, which has been deal maker of the year, senior executive of the year, and most exciting concept. So there are some really interesting streams within that. And the way that we divide the entries, because it's really not fair to judge a £2 million annual revenues business against a £10 million annual revenues business. So we stream them by annual revenues as well. And one of the things we do with all our awards, and will always do, is the team here does not get involved in any aspects of the judging. We've got an online portal where we conduct the entries. The entering brands say exactly where they wish to go, and then the judges go on to that same portal, and they've been assigned specific categories in line with their interest and expertise, and the judges judge within the portal, and we get the results. So it's not as though we can influence or suggest or recommend at all. We are completely outside the judging process, and I think that's so important, because, you know, we've even had a few people say to us, oh, did they win because they bought a table, or did they win because they're sponsors? And we can always say, categorically not. In fact, anybody who sponsors an award, we actually say to them that they can't enter.
Yeah, I think with this you avoid a lot of rumors and talks, and you can design it as fair as possible. And I think that's important for startups to know when they apply and when they see who are the winners. I mean, there will always be startups who will be disappointed, but I think all you can do is make it as transparent and as fair as possible, and not being involved in the way as you described it is, I think, one important step towards that. I also like that you put some thoughts into the categories, because usually you see the typical categories, but I also like your approach in looking at it from the stage perspective. As you said, you cannot always compare startups. There's always some unfair angle towards that. So putting them in the stages and compare them is definitely better than across all those stages.
Oh, good. Well, I appreciate that. But I think you're right. It's so important, that integrity play. And I think I'd like to come back on two points from that. First of all, we've probably left around the thick end of £500,000 on the table through sponsorship funds, where we just felt we couldn't fairly take sponsorship money and conduct the awards with the integrity that we hoped. So we've declined an awful lot of income on the basis of wanting to conduct our awards in the manner that we wanted to. So we really have put our money where our mouth is. And I think the second thing is, which is testament to the process, we did an exercise on the Yahoo Sports Technology Awards 18 months or so ago, where we actually looked at all the entries we had received who had been shortlisted, and actually said, well, look, where are they now? And I think only about three of the companies had ceased to trade. All the others had gone on to really exciting, bigger and better things. And I think because we have genuinely engaged, expert industry leaders, people who really know their stuff, judging the awards, it means they know exactly what to look for, what will work with the sector. They may have even had some direct experience of some of the entries. We don't know. We always ask them to declare any conflicts of interest. But I think it's testament to our judges' knowledge that they are able to make such great selections. And sometimes it's hard to determine the winner, and somebody may win by the narrowest of margins. So it's a bit of an awards cliche, but I think it's so true to emphasize this point repeatedly. Being shortlisted is a huge accolade for any business. And given the competition that brands have to face just to get to the shortlist stage, it is such a true statement.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that startups appreciate this process. And I'm sure there are other awards out there who have a different way of approaching such an event. So like I said before, being as clear, transparent, fair as possible is clearly appreciated. But if it feels like we already found out a lot of things about your award, we have a good picture about what you do. I wonder, is there anything else that we should know or something that we have not covered yet?
As regards the awards or as regards the business as a whole?
Both. If you feel that there's something significant missing, just this is the moment to let us know.
Oh, goodness. The thing is, as a group, we move so quickly. I mean, I'm very lucky. My colleagues here are all so committed and excited by sport and sports technology. We almost have an embarrassment of good ideas and initiatives that we all want to pursue. So some of the challenges of actually running the business is determining what we don't do in order to make what we do so effective. And one thing that we have got, our first white paper is going to be published in November. That's on the subject of the changes in legislation on betting in the US. And the way that we're doing our white papers, because again, we've said we don't like to publish in hard copy, there's going to be a written executive summary. And then our white papers are going to consist of video and visual content so that they're not the traditional report format. And we're delighted that we've got such a supportive sponsor in Yahoo, who in turn give us access to a billion audience worldwide. It means that a lot of the work that we're doing, such as these white papers, gets a great cut through both in the industry and within the interested consumer sports market.
That is very cool news. I'm looking forward very much to this white paper, and I'm sure a lot of listeners will ask themselves, all right, where do I get that white paper? How do I find out, or how can I get alerted when it comes out? So what from your perspective is the best way, like follow you on social media, check out the website from time to time, sign up to your newsletter, or all of it?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, actually, we do have a newsletter, but our newsletter is not our main form of communication. We do a lot via social media. The marketing team here put a huge amount of effort into that. So we're on Twitter, we're on LinkedIn, we're on Instagram. We've got a new website that reflects all our activities. So yes, if anybody who's interested will be able to come to those portals and get access to more information about the white papers or download the white paper itself once it's published, because the betting one in November is the first of a series. The other thing is we're very lucky to have a series of good media partners, both not just Yahoo. We've got some sports trade media partners as well, and they've all committed to help us promote the the content of the white paper as well. So in some respects, what we're hoping is if you work in the business of sport, you'll have difficulty escaping the news rather than having to search too hard to find it.
Good job, I would say. So if somebody misses, that person might not be connected well in the sports industry.
I'd like to think so.
Okay. All right. I think we learned a lot about the Sports Technology Awards group. There's one last question. It's a bit about how you design your work, your everyday work. I'm always asking my interviewees if they have some sort of productivity hack, so some little tool, some little help or something that helps them stay as efficient and effective as possible. So is there anything that you like to do or that works for you particularly?
Yeah, I was brought up making lists, and anybody who's worked with me for 5 minutes knows that I love a good report. But recently, my colleagues have brought me up from pen and paper. We use a collaborative tool called Trello, Trello. That's replaced a lot of traditional reporting that we've done in the office, and it helps me be productive on a personal level, but it also helps the team collaborate really closely and manage our work in progress really effectively. It's a relatively recent addition to the office, but so far we found that it works very, very well. So that's invaluable to us. And as I said, since it's free to use, I wholeheartedly recommend it to everyone else.
Yeah, very cool. Thank you for that one. And with this, we're already at the end of the podcast episode. Rebecca, thank you very much for being my guest today, and I wish you all the best for the future.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been an absolute pleasure.